Daniel chapter 12, verses 8 through 13, page 606 in your pew Bibles. We'll read together. Let's begin. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, "My Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" And he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1335 days. But you, go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise in your inheritance at the end of the days." May God bless his words to our hearts. Have knowledge. Have faith. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you shouldn't believe everything you hear. If it's on television, it doesn't make it true. But it must not be the same when it comes to God's Word. You must treat God's Word differently. You hear it on television, you read it in the newspaper, you see it on the internet or on Facebook. You must have a healthy dose of skepticism, as we often say. But not so with the Word of God. It's true some people want personal proofs and assurances before they believe something they read in the Word of God. And they resist the idea of trusting the promises of the Lord's words. But they should take God's words because God is reliable. This doubt, though, underscores or emphasizes a significant problem in some people's lives. They want to see something. They don't want to trust. Maybe they've had bad experiences in their life where people pretended to be something and they were not, or something, you buy something at face value and then it turned out not to be the case. But you will see today how God addressed his covenant people as they challenged him to provide proof of his work for them in the future. And you will hear how God called his people to exercise faith in Christ based on who Christ is, one, and second, based on knowledge of Christ's work, based on who he is and what he has done. Our headings are Daniel's request for secret details. Second, Christ's recap of what he had already said, because he denied him the details. And then third, Christ's reminder to Daniel of his home in heaven. Our goals are that you will learn to use the strengthening message and the assurance God has given to you through Jesus Christ so that you will trust him in times when things are uncertain. Daniel's request for secret details. Verse 8 says, "Although I heard, I did not understand." He did not fully grasp it. "Then I said, 'My Lord, what shall be the end of these things?'" While Daniel understood most of what God said to him, he wanted to know what signs would mark the end of Antiochus' persecution of the people. What conditions would be like in the end? So he asked the Lord, "Lord, tell me, give me some more details. Otherwise, I won't believe it." He was treating the Lord as if it was something that showed up on Facebook, and you think, is this really true? Or is this somebody just making up a news report and passing it around? The Lord's response was abrupt. He says to Daniel, "Go away." He wouldn't tell him. "Go back to your day job, Daniel. Serve the king. Serve the people. Do all the other things you're supposed to do. Take care of your health. Eat well, old man. Exercise. Don't forget to do the work that I've sent you to do. Bring the message of Christ to the Jews. Tell them what I have told you. Give it to the words to them so that they would memorize it, so they would meditate on it, so they would pass it on to the succeeding generations. But Daniel, my son, don't expect me to tell you what signs would mark the end of the persecution. I've given you everything I'm going to give you. I've given you more than enough. You know what the troubles that the Jews will face. You know of the Medo-Persian kings. You know of the Greeks. You know of Alexander the Great who's coming. You know that the kingdom will be divided into four parts when he died. You know that one part will be greater than the other three parts, and that part will come and persecute the people of God. And you know that I will set my people free from the hand of that one. I'm not going to tell you anything more. I've told you enough. I'm going to come and redeem my people through my son. Let that be enough for you. There's some things God will not say. That's something we have to get into our hearts. By the way, God doesn't owe us anything. And the fact that he's told us as much as he has, we should be thankful for that. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 7 together. And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority." That's when the disciples came to Jesus after the resurrection and said, "Are you now going to restore the kingdom? Are we going to establish this military state and go out and conquer the world?" And Jesus says, that's none of your business. You don't know how this is going to work. Here's the work that I've called you to do. In 1 Peter chapter 1, there Peter taught that you are to search for truth in the scriptures. There are some things that man will not know, not even the angels. But what God has revealed, you need to study those and study them well. But why didn't God tell him more? Why didn't God tell Daniel all the details for which Daniel asked? God did not tell Daniel all the details because exercising faith honors God. God wanted man to trust him, and that would bring honor to God. How would men show their trust in God other than trusting in God? Consider how the apostle taught in Hebrews chapter 11 and 12 based on knowledge that believers must keep their trust in God. Let's read Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, 2 and 3 together. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony." And then 13 together. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." None of the people in the Old Testament saw Jesus Christ. And yet, they believed the promises of God, seeing them afar off, and they were firm in their faith. Remember, the writer of Hebrews says, all of these people believed in Jesus Christ. And the promises were given to them, and they received those promises. They didn't have to see everything to their face. When you do this, you're honoring the Lord. Look at the Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1 and 2 now, together. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame." So what is the writer saying now? Based on what God has told you, based on that faith, you now are to press forward and live good lives. Run the race that is set before you. You have a cloud of witnesses. Look at what they have done. move on based on what God has already done for you. Believers have some knowledge, have some promises, and always God's Holy Spirit. So believers can keep their faith in God. So you do not need to know everything. Trapper commentator wrote, "We may not be in God's counsel, but we are in God's courts. Be thankful. We're not in the inner circle, and we are not discussing things with God personally in that way as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit do. But we are in His courts. We're near enough. We can see Him. We can talk to Him. We can hear Him." That should be sufficient. That you would trust Him. And that's what God is telling Daniel. "Look, Daniel, you don't have all the details. And I'm not going to give you any more. But remember, I've given you enough." Second, not only does it honor God when we trust Him, but exercising faith will cause you to grow. All men need exercise to grow. You want to get strong muscles, you learn you've got to put some force on the muscles and exercise those muscles. You've never seen a man growing muscles sitting down eating potato chips on the couch. You grow, but not muscles. You want to be strong, you have to practice trusting in Christ. I know this is difficult in a world where there's so many lies that have been written as facts. You read science books and they describe evolution as if it were a fact. And probably one of the worst areas of lies would be in the area of history books, where lies have been rewritten. You read the history books in Iran. They don't talk about Hitler murdering of the Jews. They said that never happened. That was just created by historians. Or the Japanese textbooks that talk about how much they went into China and Korea to help them. Which Chinese or Korean says that? That, of course, was not true. But they like to rewrite those things. And that's why it's difficult sometimes. But you have to know the person. You're dealing with God Himself. And it's not based upon simply upon who Christ is. But you see in history how Christ has been faithful to His people. Every time He says He will do something, He has done it. And on that basis, you are able to trust Him. And when you do trust Him, you are able to grow. You are able to mature. You are able to move on to greater challenges when you can trust the Lord through them. And then see, exercising faith is the basis of which God will reward you. He will reward you in this life and certainly in the next. So there's good grounds for trusting Christ, putting your faith in Him. And then we talked part of this about this verse already, and he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the end of time." Now, Daniel was not to hide the words of God that God revealed to him from the Jews. He was simply to seal up a copy, we talked about this as well, so that the records could be referred to later when the Jews would face their troubles, and they would be reminded of God's faithful promises to them. Look at how this phrase is used in the Bible. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 16. "Together, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples." You notice when people read this phrase, if you listen to the typical Arminian premillennialist, he will say that these words were hidden away and nobody knew the meaning until now. But that's not what this is saying at all. There was not some deep secret. When God says, "Seal the law among my disciples," it means let it be among them in their hearts. Let it be marked upon them. Let it be authenticated. After all, why would God give a message and then say, "Hide it. Don't tell anyone"? How would they be able to trust God? You have to study the Word of God, and that Word helps you to trust God more. That strengthens your faith. So the phrase "closed and sealed" could better be understood and translated that way in the Scriptures. It means to preserve and authenticate, to prove to be true. You know, the seal was put upon something to show this is real. This is not the seal in terms of hiding something, but the seal like you have a diploma. If you have your nice big frame diploma on your wall, you want to see on it whichever university you've gone to.
And that authenticates that you have gotten that degree from that place. And that's what this is saying. This is showing the authentication of it. And you have to keep a copy to show this was the original Word of God. And yet, in a way, you can say the gospel was sealed from other people. It was hidden from the other people. For the other nations might not have taken too kindly to predictions of their own demise, their own destruction. But that's not the real point of this. That's a side effect of it. The Word of God was sealed, showing that it was authentic. And it was imprinted upon the hearts of people. The Lord says He will seal us with His love. His love is sealed upon us, showing that we truly have His love. So, the Word of God is true. You need to trust Him in this. That's the first point. He asked for details, and the Lord said, no. What was Christ's response then? Did He just say, okay, no, Daniel, just go away? No, He recaps what He had already said to Daniel. And verse 10 says, and this is our second main point, many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So while Jesus, who is Michael here, did not give the details for which Daniel was asking, He instead recapped His encouragement of the Jews to remain faithful during their persecution. They want to know all the details. Lord, tell us, what will happen? What will happen at the end? When will it exactly end, and what would conditions be like? He says, I'm going to purify you. It's like when a child comes and asks silly questions, and you tell them what they need to hear. Not all the silliness that they ask. He had given the Jews enough ground for trusting in Him. Let me paraphrase how this might have gone. Daniel said, Lord, give me details. What signs will mark the end of our suffering? And the Lord says, don't worry about the details. I've given you enough. I will take care of my people. Tell them to trust me. Be patient. Be cheerful. Let the persecution purify you. Warn those who are compromising with Antiochus Epiphanes. Shine as lights in the dark world, and I will reward you. John Gill, another commentator, said that God was urging them to be an ornament of religion while under persecution. In other words, the Jews should let their lives be so well lived that people would admire them, how they suffer under persecution, and praise God. Remember, how you suffer says a lot about who you are, and more, whose you are. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you will endure persecution, because you know that is the refining fire. And that's why Jesus says, at the end of the persecution, many shall be purified, shall be made white. God's people would come out looking white, purified, like the perfectly white cloth that just comes off the loom. The Jews would be tried and purified as silver and gold, and their dross removed. They would shine even more in the future. Remember, the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, together, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Your faith being much more precious than silver. And that's what the trials did. It was a purifying thing. And God says, trust me, I'll bring you through it. Endure. Keep your head up. Keep your light shining. Let your light shine to a world that is in darkness. Now, while the godly would be purified, the Lord said to him instead, the wicked would continue to sin. The godly would be purified, the wicked would continue in their sin. Now, who are these wicked? The covenant breakers are the primary target here. Those are the Jews who would compromise with Antiochus Epiphanes and start working for him and worship the idols that he set up, the god of fortresses. But the wicked, of course, will include Antiochus as well. They would be acting according to their nature. They would pursue the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They would be this way because they would not care about the Word of God. The words that were authenticated, sealed by God Himself. They would not make God's law their study all the day. So they would never be wise. And because they are not wise, they would never be saved. They would never look to Him. That's what the Lord says. But the wicked, but none of the wicked shall understand. In other words, they wouldn't know the truth of God's Word. And that's why, brothers and sisters, you need to be good students of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that causes you to trust God. If you don't know the past, how would you be able to have confidence in Him? If you don't know anything about someone, who goes into a marriage with someone and they don't know anything about the details of that person? You want to know the person's background. Is this person reliable? Is this person truthful? Is this person, above all, godly? When you read the Word of God and you see His faithfulness, then you are able to trust Him. The wicked, on the other hand, they disregard God. And no wonder they are pushed aside. They have no knowledge of God. See why we need to bring people to church as well? You see why you need to give them the Word of God as well? No Word, no salvation. They think they know everything. You talk to the non-Christian and they know all the answers to life. But do they really? No. Because they don't know the Word of God. Psalm 82, verse 5. Together, they do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. There are people, that's describing the non-belief. They don't know anything. They don't know. I like this idea of Ecclesiastes that we've looked at before. We'll read it again. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 8. Together, if you see the oppression of the poor and the violent perversion of justice and righteousness in a province, do not marvel at the matter. For high officials watches over high officials, and higher officials are over them. What was the point? Everyone's accountable. They think that they're on their own. The non-believer thinks, well, maybe you're all products of evolution. We better enjoy while we can and then it's done. But God watches. He never misses anything. There are always those who are watching. And the wicked will not escape. And then verses 11 and 12. You see here that God does not totally ignore Daniel's request for information. For more information. And this is where you see the kindness of God. Look at how patient He is. He does give him some hints. Doesn't give him all the details, but He gives him some more. He knows, well, maybe poor Daniel needs, his faith is too weak. Maybe the people need a little extra help, and He gives him some hints, such as your patient God. Earlier in Daniel, God said that the Jews would suffer for 1290 days, which is 3.5 years, and we said that's a broken seven, meaning that there would not be full persecution. God will stop the persecution before it destroys His people. But now there are 45 more days added, a total of 1335. Where did this other 45 days come from? I had to study this long and hard, and I found a very excellent explanation of this. It makes perfect sense. The Jews have spent 430 years of oppression in Egypt. 430 years times 3 is 1290. Number 3 is used to show intensity. You know, we would say, I'm going to do this over and over and over again. And the number 3 and 430 years of suffering, and that's multiplied by 3, and that's the 1290. But where does the other 45 days come? The other 45 days were the years from bondage in Egypt to the official conquest of the land of Canaan. Look at the Word of God and see how beautiful the truths of God are revealed to us. Exodus 12, verse 40, together. Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And then Joshua chapter 4, starting at verse 9. Together, So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive." And he said, "These 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am, this age, 85 years old. The Lord has kept me alive," and said, "these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, 45 years, and there they are in the promised land." What was the point then? The point the Lord was making to Daniel was this: Israel suffered for 1,335 years before they had rest. 1,290 in Egypt and 45 years in going to the land of Canaan. So this was to make the Jews concerned for 1,335 days. But it should be without the three times intensity. And yet, this is the picture of an endurable persecution, because how long did they suffer? All of those 430 years times three in intensity. And what would they suffer? Only for 1,335 days. You have just over 3.5 years, as opposed to 430 plus conquering the land of Canaan. What a picture of God's love for his people. How patient he is with them. And did it come true? Yes. While they were 1290 years before Antiochus fell, that's 1290 years of persecution, yet it took, according to history, another 45 days after his death for serious terror to stop. It took a while for the message to go and for things to change after Antiochus was killed. And then joy came to the people of God. Isn't that amazing? 1290 days that he talked about, but then 45 days more for things to fully change. But then there's another fulfillment of the prophecy, and that's why you see the consistency of the scriptures. In the siege and destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans, that was also that took approximately 1,335 days. The Romans surrounded Jerusalem in AD 60. That's when they started their attack, and it ended in AD 70 when Jerusalem was destroyed. Then joy came to the people, for freedom came to the land. And when Jesus was speaking of the destruction of Jerusalem, he referenced this passage, this exact passage from Daniel, as he knew that the Romans would come and set up Caesar's image in the temple, just as Antiochus Epiphanes had done earlier, 175 years before. Well, plus 70 years to the destruction of Jerusalem. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. Together: "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." Now, we know they fled across to the river, and there they were kept safe. Now, if you look back at verse 11, what did the Lord say to Daniel? "And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. And Jesus comes back to that abomination of desolation in Matthew 24 and applies it to the Romans as well. For they would come and surround Jerusalem and then destroy it. What was the point? I'm not going to give you all the details, but I'll tell you what. I'm in charge. Trust me, because you know who I am. And trust me, because you've seen what I have done. I'm not going to tell you everything, but I'm going to call on you to trust me now. And those who patiently endure the severe oppression during those days will be saved." The same thing for you today. You may go through terrible times, But don't walk away from the Lord and say, this is too much. Part of the trials you go through in life, whenever they end, that's up to the Lord. But those trials are for your purification. They're also for the honor of Christ. And they're also for your reward. How you endure, how you experience, and how you take persecution. It's a big way in which you would be rewarded in the end. If you face suffering and all God hears from you is complaining, why did this have to happen to me? And instead of enduring it and facing your challenges, if you complain all the time, the reward will be nothing. But the Lord uses those sufferings. And He's saying, look, the sufferings will end. They'll not continue. Remember, broken seven. Always remember that. 3.5 years. God is saying, it will not be complete. You will not be completely destroyed. I will stop it. Remember a verse that we looked at last week. Jesus said, unless the persecution is stopped, the elect would be destroyed. But for the elect's sake, the Roman persecution was going to stop. And so the persecution of Antiochus Epiphanes was going to stop. Otherwise the people would be destroyed. Remember, he destroyed up to 80,000 people and sent them as slaves just from the city of Jerusalem. If that had continued for any longer, God's people would have been wiped out. And guess what? Christ would not be able to come there. But for the sake of His promises, for the sake of the redemption of man, He keeps His promises. You can trust Him. No one could stop Jesus from coming and accomplish that work. But quick final point. Christ's reminder of Daniel of his home in heaven. God says to him, the Lord Jesus Himself, but you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of your days. God knew that Daniel might worry about Judah's future. He was a good father to them. He had seen them experience the whole time of Babylonian captivity. He saw what was coming from the Greeks. And that was not good for this old saint. A true Christian is going to feel pain when his brothers suffer. And he was probably 100 years old now. So God pointed Daniel to His own glorious and rewarding resurrection. A resurrection in which he would be at perfect rest in Jesus Christ. Daniel had finished the race and kept the faith. Job describes this. And look at Job chapter 3 verse 17 together. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary are at rest. When you die, it's the end. There's peace now. And God is saying to him, look, Daniel, you can't deal with it. You can't fix every problem. You can't take care of every need of the Jewish people. Things are going to happen 300 plus years later. Be prepared. Accept what I've given you. You're going to die. You're going to be at rest in me. And this would have made perfect sense to any old saint of God. And by pointing Daniel to heaven, God was clearly clearing the way for others to come and take on the role of passing on the message of truth. Daniel, you've preached enough. Now it's time for somebody else. The word of God must continue. Faith must continue. Worship must continue. And because worship is not there, evangelism is necessary. As long as the whole world is not worshiping God, you must evangelize. You evangelize with the revealed truth. That's the key of the kingdom that we talked about already. You evangelize by your life and testimony till you die. And each succeeding generation must pass on God's truth so believers can trust God and stop doubting His promises. Let's conclude. Daniel wanted more details about the future troubles, but not for himself. Not just for himself, but also for the people. But God had given him enough. God wanted him to secure the revelation He had given to him and urged the people to keep their trust in Him throughout their troubles. And in order to encourage Daniel and the Jews to endure, God spoke of their heavenly inheritance. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, learn that there are some things you won't know, and you must be contented with what is revealed in God's Word. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to God. Be ready to know that there are some things you won't know. Second, learn to read, believe, and apply the truth of God's Word to your heart. Without reading and meditating in God's Word, your faith will be weak. Not might be weak. Your faith will be weak. Watch for the person who's struggling with spiritual things, and you can know one thing for sure: he's not being a good student of the Word of God. God's Holy Spirit, though, will work through the Word and strengthen your faith as you study and believe the words that you read. And then third, the most important thing you learn in God's Word is God's plan for man's salvation. Salvation through Jesus Christ alone. Something you have in your grasp. You already have that. Praise God for that. Pass that on to others. Hold on to what He's given to you. And then continue to live for Him. You come into the kingdom. You stay in the kingdom. You come in by the Word of God. You stay in by the Word of God. That's what will make you trust God. This will bring glory to Him. This will strengthen your faith. This will be the basis of your reward when you trust God based on His Word. And the two aspects of His Word. One, you know who Christ is. You know who God is. He's able to do. And second, based on what He has done. Not just who He is, but what He has done for you. And may God strengthen your faith in that. And finally, do you know this Jesus who can secure your soul forever? I'm not asking you to have a head knowledge of Jesus Christ. Most people know Jesus was a man who lived 2,000 years ago in Israel. I'm asking you if you know Him personally, in an intimate way. If you don't know Him, read His Word and ask Him to reveal Himself and reveal His work as you read it, so you can know Him and receive the blessings that we have. You can enter into His kingdom and you can stay there forever. Let us pray.